Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 30th, 2013. And once again, Jason, as you were praying, a thought crossed my mind, and it's like, oh, no, how did I let that slip by? And so I haven't talked with you about this at all, but as you were praying and you were talking about where we've spoken truth into each other's lives and, you know, thank you, God, for our relationship, and we've talked oftentimes about Barnabas and Paul and different roles they had in each other's lives and, you know, anyone that's tuned in for any period of time, in fact, over 2 years, and I'm thinking, over 2 years. We didn't have like a 2-year anniversary of you being a part of Mark and Friends.
No cake or anything. I mean, what the heck?
And you're like all about cake, but
I know.
As I'm thinking about it, we've just crossed that threshold. I guess about a week or 10 days ago would have been the official 2 years that you've joined me on Mark and Friends. It was in October of 2011, I guess. Because I presented at your church in October, maybe one of the first weeks. This is 2 years ago.
It was the last week of September, actually. And then you had me on the second or third Tuesday of that month for Pastor Appreciation.
Oh, here it is. October 9th, FBC. I show October 9th, FBC, but that's First Baptist Church.
Yeah, no, it was the end of September because you came for missions. The missions thing, and we always do that the fourth Sunday of the month.
Yeah, but I think it was delayed for some reason.
It could have been.
I think it was because then I show Tuesday, October 18th, because I think I wanted you have you on the following Testimony Tuesday. That's when I was doing Testimony Tuesdays. And because of scheduling and stuff, it had to be delayed a week or so. And that would make sense because if it was October 9th, then you couldn't do it the next one, but then the following Tuesday. And that's where, in the midst of that program, I was thinking, gosh, I like this guy. I can say now I love this guy, but I...
anyways, that was what I was thinking. I can't believe I found this place.
Yeah, out in the woods. And the program ended, so a little over 2 years ago, I guess exactly on the 18th. Oh, wait, the 20th. So then the 26th was the first time it began with regularity. So October 26th, I have it on this little post-it note. So we just crossed the threshold of 2 years of you joining me each and every Wednesday, I think without any exception. I think you made all of them, with maybe one exception when we were in Israel and you had done that series on, mm-hmm. on the Holy Land. And then at some point, we decided, and I certainly came up with the idea, hey, I love having this guy around, and you love teaching the Bible. Maybe we'd go through some books. Actually, didn't we start with Ephesians, and we never really got into it?
You never, because you were always changing it. You're like, well, we should talk about Ephesians today, but what about? And yeah. Finally, people gave up. I think we were different places, and they were like, I'm not even counting on Ephesians anymore.
Yeah, that's when I got the tagline, the derailer.
The derailer.
Because you would start up with something, and then I'd derail you. And then we finally got into establishing, okay, Friday's going to be very specifically through a book of the Bible.
You know. Ruth.
Yeah. Ruth, did we launch into Ruth?
I think it was Ruth, and then from Ruth into Acts, but yeah, it was Ruth.
Didn't we do something in between that, Ruth and Acts? It seems like...
Oh, we've done a lot of things.
Yes. Because 2 years worth, I don't know how long we've been doing Fridays. I have to look back.
At least
on,
a year. Yeah. At least a year.
And then an occasional... we will review a book and get an author on, or maybe a speaker, you know, from...
There's been a number of times. I'm a whole week.
Yeah. John MacArthur to various authors. So maybe, I don't know if on Friday, because you'll be joining me through our Book of Acts, but maybe next Wednesday I'll have some cake here in the studio. We'll see if we can put that together. But thank you for joining me for these past 2+ years, 2 years in a week. And thank you, listener, for being a part of this radio listening family. We do count it a pleasure and a privilege to share some of our lives with you. Hopefully it's always a God-honoring program where we'll pull out a biblical text or a concept that's scriptural and just maybe hash it out. What's that word you've taught me a million times? Hover over it. Wrestle through it, kind of try to find, at least in my mind, I always like to have a point of application. Okay, Jason has taught something has been shared or discussed. What does that mean for me? How would the Holy Spirit impress on my heart to maybe begin that practice or to think it through biblically? What is God saying to me or to us or to our family or our community or our nation? And then what are action steps that we can take to implement it? You know, maybe it's a new practice of scripture memory, and we're going to do that in the morning. Well, it may mean going to sleep earlier the night before or turning off the TV or preparing to take on that new position or that new leadership role or whatever it is. So Anyways, so I always try to find a point of application. But it also has to include some fun. I'm all about having fun. Yeah. That was something that I learned a few years ago through an InterVarsity conference. When they look at, they looked at different things. They gave you like 52 cards and personality traits and things that you have to have a part of your everyday experience. And what if these were taken away? Would you still be complete and whole? And fun and humor were like at the essence of who I am as a person. And so it was really interesting to find that out, that I have to find fun or humor in whatever it is. And it gets me in trouble many times. And sometimes I can cross the line.
You know what? It was somewhere you and I were together recently. We sat in different places, which is odd. We don't usually do that. Usually,
I think it was at the banquet, the Living Alternative.
No. Were at the table with me then, because that's when I prayed that we would hold hands and sing songs, and we did. God answered that prayer. It was excellent. I even have a picture of it, too. It's great.
Well, you have to explain that most of the listeners would be, what's so big about that?
Everybody who knows, Mark loves to hold hands. He's real kind of touchy, so especially when he prays. He really loves to hold hands. He likes to squeeze the hand while he's praying. Actually, he hates it. But every time we go places, it keeps coming up where we have to hold hands. And so at the Living Alternatives Banquet, Martin Luther King's granddaughter, Alveda King, who was on the program here, you can look in the archives and listen to that program. She said, now I want us all to do something. She said, I want us to all stand up and hold hands. And so I'm over there with Tasha. We're at the same table, but I'm looking across at Mark thinking, oh, Lord, this would only be better if we could sing. And then she goes, and then I want us to sing This Little Light of Mine. And Mark's face
holding hands.
And Mark's face just kind of fell a little bit like, oh, no, it was great.
Yeah.
It was really great, kind of priceless.
Okay, so what was the other thing that you were thinking of, that we were poking humor or having too much fun or something?
Oh, you know what it was? It was recently we attended the same funeral, and you came in, and we didn't sit next to each other. And somebody said, hey, Mark's here. And I said, I prayed, Lord, have him stay over there, because he likes to goof off sometimes, and this is a funeral. Because no matter where we're at, you'll give me a little elbow or something.
You know what? And it's gotten me in trouble many times, but it also helped me find out why. Like even at deacon meetings, and that's where I learned it's at the core of who I am. I have to have fun or humor. And many times, it's been inappropriate, but it made sense of much of my life, where I remember being at a deacon meeting. This was after that session, and it's like, I got it. But like, you know, the meeting was going on and on and on. And you've been in deacon meetings, church meetings, where it's kind of like we've beat this dead horse to death, or what, you know.
Definitely.
It's like, come on, let's put a closure on it. And we were on some kind of topic, and these were great, God-honoring, wonderful deacons, and I appreciate them all, but I was sitting there thinking, this thing's got to end. And so I say to the guy next to me, I said, hey, just take all these papers, you know, all those handouts you get at the meeting. I said, just put them together and start, like, you know, so I'll do an example. I said, put them together and start doing this. And that'll kind of subtly imply in people's minds, okay, let's close it out and everything. But I thought it was just so funny. And so he and I started doing that. And within 2 minutes, everyone else started, well, okay, let's wrap up this meeting. And so it was just a way that my brain works, where I had to poke some humor. And I've done that many times, but it's like, oh, it's because it's a core of who I am. And the InterVarsity session was human flourishing. How can we most effectively flourish and minister to others? And so I guess I bring in levity or humor or something. And many times that's good, because you need somebody like that.
Oh, totally.
And then you need the very serious people and the task at hand. But I've just learned that. And even like you've seen me many times when you're preaching, I try to be very attentive. I love the declaration of God's word. But there's an interim time where I have to, every so many minutes or 10 minutes, something has to come out of my mouth or something to bring a smile on somebody's face. Or, you know, you get in trouble with Tasha sometimes, because I think you're wired this way a little too, where you see humor in so many things. And you don't mean to be offensive or to hurt or to make fun of somebody. You see something that's kind of funny and it delights you, and you get in trouble sometimes too. And I kind of like that.
I get in trouble a lot.
So happy 2 years. We'll have cake next Wednesday. And thank you, listener, for allowing us to just share a little of our lives with you. And there's always usually some kind of biblical insight that we like to share. And I'm trusting, Jason, you've come armed today.
Yeah, two of them. We're all good. You know what? I was just thinking about the last couple days, just worship. I've been reading through different books of the Bible. In addition, I normally, we're going through the book of Acts in the church, so I'm reading the book of Acts over and over and over and over and over again. But then one of the beauties of the book of Acts is that I'm reading the other epistle letters too, one a week as I go through reading it also, just to get to continually get to know Paul's heart. And I keep just falling in love with the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is so rich, and it's so amazing. As we talked when Matt Chandler was on the program a couple weeks ago, you know, it's the epistle of joy, but it's probably also the toughest time Paul has ever had. I mean, he's in prison. I mean, he's thanking God that Epaphroditus has brought this gift to him. The gift was money so he could eat, because in Roman prisons, if you didn't have somebody supplying your food, supplying for you, you would die. I mean, in Acts, I think it's in Acts chapter 23 or 24, Felix allows Paul to remain in prison and his friends to bring him stuff to keep him going. So you would normally go to prison, and by the time maybe even your court date came up, you were almost dead or not doing well. So many prisoners just asked for death or died during their imprisonment. So Paul is in a tough spot here, and yet Paul writes this epistle where he talks about the greatness of God, the glory of Jesus Christ. He talks about what it means to persevere and what it means to keep your eye on Christ. I mean, if anybody says to me, I don't understand how the Apostle Paul did the ministry he did, I go, read Philippians, because he talks about it, to live as Christ, to die as gain. You know, he talks about in my favorite, the third chapter, no confidence in the flesh, if you got an NIV as the heading there. But he says, you know, I was Pharisee of the Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin. As for zeal of the law, faultless. You know, and then he goes on to say, but I consider all these things to be rubbish. In fact, he says in the NIV translation that he considers them to be garbage. And I love that. He considers all the things that he knew. And people would have said, Paul, you know a lot of stuff. I mean, remember, Paul received letters from the Sanhedrin, from the council, and from the high priest to carry to Damascus. Paul received personal letters from these people because they supported the things he was doing. They believed in him. Now, the high priest in the temple didn't believe in you if you didn't have your stuff together.
You would call him the rock star of the
time. He is a rock star. I mean, he does. And the funny thing is he receives that in Acts chapter 9 to go and persecute Christians. Later on, when we get into like Acts 21, 22, 23, he uses that same testimony as a point of reference to say, hey, you know what? If you guys have any question about who I was and my zeal for the law and my love for being a Jew, go ask the Sanhedrin and the high priest, because they gave me their autographed letters. They believed in me. And then he goes on to say, as he would in Philippians, but I consider that to be rubbish next to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ. He goes on to give, as he gives his testimony in those latter chapters of Acts. But people believed in him. Paul was a great Jewish preacher, a great rabbi, and he became a great preacher and a great person in terms of standing for Christ. But you know what? I think that as Christians, we fall in love with like theology. We fall in love with preaching. We fall in love with all of these different pieces of following Jesus or being a Christian, if you might say. But we forget, first and foremost, that it's about worship. It begins with worship. A heart that can't worship won't truly know all those other things. I'm not a good preacher if I'm not able to worship Christ. You know, it makes me think of a story that's told, and it's an old myth that's told regarding Abraham. And it says, if you've read Joshua chapter 24, it says that Abraham lived with his father across the river, and his father worshipped other gods. Well, this little parable or this little story that they tell, it says Abraham's father, Terah, was an idol worshiper. It says Abraham got up one night and he went into his father's idol room, this room where he has all these idols in there. And he said he took out a hammer and took it into his hand, and he began to break up all these idols into little pieces. And then he took the hammer and he put it in the hand of the last remaining idol, and he left it there. Well, the next morning, Abraham's father came into the idol room and he began to scream, "Who did this? What happened?" And Abraham walked in and he said, "Dad, I think it's quite clear what happened." And he goes, "What do you mean? What happened?" He goes, "Well, it's clear. It looks as though the idols got into a fight last night about who was the greatest idol, and the most powerful one smashed all the other ones." And Abraham's father said, "That's impossible. These things are just made of clay and ceramic and made of wood." And Abraham looked at his dad and he said, "Then, Father, why do you worship them?"
Mm-hmm.
And see, I think that what happens is and it happens all the time. I'll say to people, "Have you been reading God's Word? Have you been able to get into God's Word?" And they go, "Oh, man, I'm just so busy." And I said, "Hey, have you been able to pray?" "You know, every time I start, I mean, I just got so many things on my plate." And this is what happens. I'm going to be honest. And I want to share another little story because I came with a bunch of little stories today. But in Japan in the 1500s, there was a ruler, and his name was Hideyoshi. And Hideyoshi was a warlord who ruled over what would be modern-day Japan then. And it said that he commissioned, during his rule, a large statue of Buddha to be built at Kyoto. And it said it took, the history tells us, it took about 50,000 men 5 years to build this massive golden statue. And it said the work had been scarcely completed when in 1596 there was a massive earthquake that brought the roof of the shrine crashing down and wrecked the statue. It said, history tells us again, that in a huge raid, Hideyoshi came into the room and he pulled out a bow and arrow and he shot an arrow into the statue, the remains of it. And he says, I put you here at great expense and you couldn't even look after your own temple. And I think that sometimes that's how we get. We get ourselves sidetracked and we get off into this place over here where we're not reading God's word and we're not praying and we're not spending time with the Spirit. And because we're worshiping other things, but what happens is I think some of us start to get angry at God because of that. We got to go, God, well, where are you? How many of you have been in a tough season of your life and you're going, Lord, where are you? And the Lord's going, where are you? Mm-hmm. Where exactly are you at? Because the scripture tells us that the Lord is always there. I love the prayer of Aaron where it says, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May he lift you up and turn you towards him and give you great peace. That tells me that the Lord turns us towards him. It doesn't say in that passage of scripture that the Lord turned towards us. It says that we turn towards him. And that's what got the Apostle Paul in so much trouble in the book of Acts, because when Paul arrives in Jerusalem in the latter chapters of Acts, what are the people in Jerusalem, what are the Jews saying to their brothers and sisters there? What are they saying about Paul? They're saying, Paul tries to get Jews to turn from the law of Moses. Well, some of us would read that and we'd go, well, that's false. But you know what? I contend that it's not exactly false. It's true. He was getting them to turn from the law of Moses. But he wasn't getting them to turn and leave it. He was getting them to turn and repent of it. Because what had happened is the Jews had become so ingrained in the 613 things that they do that they thought could help to make them right, that they had missed the one thing that would make them righteous, which was Jesus. And they had missed that. So Paul was preaching that they would turn from the law, but that they would turn in repentance from the law. They would turn from repentance from the things that were dividing them and keeping them from being with God. And I think we do the same things. I think that we get ourselves so caught in so many different things. And then we come to church on Sunday morning and you hear somebody like me or whoever your pastor is, and we preach something and we get all irritated by it. And sometimes we go up after the service and we go, Pastor, you just made me mad. And that's when, as a pastor, I say, that wasn't me. I don't have enough power. I don't have enough prominence. And it's way under my pay grade. That was the Holy Spirit. You know, now where is that in your life that maybe you need to do some work? Because that wasn't me who did that. I was simply the conduit. You know, when you're listening to the radio in your car and a song comes on that you don't like it, do you start to stab the speakers? No, because the speakers are simply the conduit from which the message is being given. But where does the real power come from? What do? You turn the station. Well, you know what I think we do? I think that sometimes we hear what God wants to say to us, and we don't. First of all, we get mad at the speakers, and then we change the station. And we change the station by finding something else that agrees with the things that we're doing, that allows us to continue to do the things we're doing, and we go there and we worship there. And then we wonder why we can't read our Bible, why we can't pray. You know what? Look at prayer is the most reading the Word of God and praying is the most intimate thing you're going to do during your day. It really is. It far surpasses the intimacy that you'll experience with your spouse. It far surpasses the intimacy that you'll have as you maybe hug your child and you have a really tender moment. The intimacy that you have through God's word and through prayer with God's Spirit far exceeds anything else. And so when we get mad or we get frustrated or things like that happen, we divide ourselves from that intimacy. We divide ourselves from wanting to be in that place, and certainly we do so when conviction comes on there. We become just like a Hideyoshi. We go into the temple and we shoot arrows at God and we go, why did you do this? Why didn't you protect this temple? You told me I was a temple of the living God. I was a temple of the Holy Spirit. Why didn't you protect me? Why did my world come crashing down around me? And we get mad at God. And we forget that we're to worship God. in the good things and in the bad things. My favorite piece of scripture ever. It's become, you know, I used to joke and say, well, my favorite, you know, 500 pieces of scriptures that I have is Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 begins. And it says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the greater heights. What a great piece of scripture, because you know what? There are seasons of your life, for whatever reason, that God leads you into, because it's the refining fire, as we would say, where you go in and there is no crop. There is nothing in the stall. Things seem bleak. Things seem tough. But you know what? God is always there. I love, love, love. In Acts chapter, I believe it's 22. Where Paul has just given his testimony. He's feeling the brunt of these crowds in Jerusalem. And it says in Acts chapter 23, excuse me, it says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Jesus appears to him and says, take courage. I'm right here. I'm right here. I didn't leave you. I didn't forsake you. I get it that the bottom dropped out and the ceiling fell in. But you know what? It needed to. Because sometimes the bottom can't drop out and the ceiling can't fall in. Sometimes we can't do the construction work that we need to do on our lives without blowing a few things up.
Hmm. Gosh, I wrote a bunch of little notes down. I love that initial illustration where we kind of laugh at that Abraham and his father and, oh, the statue must have killed all the other statues, all the other idols. And we're like, pfft. But how many times do we find ourselves worshiping other things or those things we spend all of our time with competing with the time we spend with God, and then the consider it all rubbish? Paul could say that because he gave up everything because of the beauty of Christ, or his relationship with Christ was the most important. And then I wrote down that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that's what we need to be all about, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost.
Because I think we want to run from it, not seek it.
Oh, dear one, thanks for listening, and may that be our prayer for you today, that you'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and God will work out all the rest for you today, this very day. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.